Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, you have your Bible. Go with me to Psalm 32. We're going to go to Psalm 32, verse 8. We'll leave there, and the bus will be headed to Proverbs 20:27. Psalm 32, verse 8, and then we're headed to Proverbs 20:27. Somebody say, thank God for the Word. This message tonight, the Lord and touched our hearts to write this message on the 10th of February. I recorded in my prayer journal. We wrote this message, didn't know when it was for, what time it would be for. We weren't scheduled to speak then around that time. And but when we wrote this message, we got it all together and then said, Lord, we'll just trust you for the right time to share it. And this became that time. And so we're in Psalm 32, and the title of this message is Missing God by 18 Inches. Missing God by 18 Inches. You know, they say that the distance between our head and our heart, on average, and the average person is 18 inches. And we're going to talk about what it means to follow the inward witness, because if you don't follow the inward witness, you'll get misled by the outward fleece. I said, if you don't follow the inward witness, you'll get misled by the outward fleece. And as New Testament believers, we have to follow the plan and the pattern that God has set up for him to lead us and to guide us. Amen. And so many are struggling in this area. I remember it would have been 1983. I was working in campus ministry in 1983. Virginia Commonwealth, Virginia State, Virginia Union, and Richmond, Virginia. And one of the things I had to do for my job as a campus minister, I had to raise all of my support. So all of my salary, all of the cost of my salary, like a missionary would do, I had to raise that every year, and I would visit with local pastors, and that's who supported me, different churches. And one of those pastors got to be a personal friend of mine, just a very dear, wonderful man of God. And we would have lunch once a year. I would give him an update on what I was doing on campus, and his church so graciously supported me. It was one of the many, many churches that supported me while I did my campus ministry. And during one of those lunches, I was giving him an update about what was going on campus, but I noticed that his demeanor had changed. There was something that was appeared to be personally wrong with him, and I stopped giving him an update and asked him what was wrong. He shared with me that his wife had just had a brand new baby girl. And I asked, is everything okay with the baby? Yes, everything is wonderful with the baby. Is everything okay with your wife? Everything's wonderful with her. I asked, how could you be so sad? How could you say it even sad? And he told me, he said, we thought we were having twins. He said, as a matter of fact, he said, the Lord spoke to us and told us we were having twins. And I said, so, but did you have twins? He said, no, we just had one baby. I said, oh. He said, well, when the Lord spoke to us, the first place he spoke through my wife. And he said, in all the years I've known her, dating and being married to her, I've never seen her miss God one time. I said, well, dear brother, any of us can miss God. We're in a human body. We're God is infallible. His word is infallible, but we are finite human beings, you know. Any of us could miss God. He said, I know that. He said, but I'm telling you, she's never missed it. She's never, never missed it. And I said, well, there was only one baby. He said, there's only one baby. I said, well, then, brother, then forget it. He said, well, I'm having trouble forgetting that because so many times, he said, time after time, as the Lord has spoken to her, it's been dead on, accurate, the way we've done things with the church and through the church and through the ministry. And he said, I can't get over the fact. He said, we just don't know what happened. But he said, she's just never missed. I said, brother, any of us can miss it. We can all miss it. I said, you got a brand new baby girl. You ought to be, just ablaze with happiness, and this is robbing your joy. Forget it. So what? She missed it. He said, no, that's, I can't forget it. And I was thinking, boy, he won't let this go. He went on telling the story. He said, well, I'll tell you this. He said, when we went to our first doctor's checkup, he said, the doctor said there's only one baby. He said, we told our doctor, well, doc, you know, we don't want to disrespect you. We believe the Lord spoke to us, told us there's two babies. He said, the doctor said, well, maybe if there is, he said, could be, maybe the babies are out of position, one baby in out of position to another. And he said, I might not hear both heartbeats. I might just be getting, you know, one heartbeat, and there might be another baby there. So he said, on the next visit, we'll check it. They go to the next visit, which is like a month or something later. And the doctor says, again, there's only one baby. And so they got in the car dejected, and they said, Lord, this is what he told me. He's telling me this over lunch. He said, they just came out of the doctor's office, and they said, Lord, now you told us there were two babies. And so, Lord, we want you to confirm it. Would you confirm to us that there's two babies? Then he told me this. He said, Brother Bill, he said, as the Lord is my witness, when we finished praying that prayer, out of nowhere in my rearview mirror, a car was coming at us at a high rate of speed. He said, we're in the car traveling. I look in the rearview mirror, there's a car closing in on us at a high rate of speed. He said, that car came like almost like it was going to run into us, but it slowed down, didn't hit us, swerved out to the right, pulled ahead of us, swerved in front of us, put the brakes on right in front of us. And he said that car had a personalized license plate when it slowed down just before it sped off. And he said, do you know what that license plate said? I said, twins? He said, yes, just like that. He said, we just prayed for the Lord to confirm it. And a car comes out of nowhere right behind us, pulls alongside of us, gets in front of us, slows down, and then speeds off just as fast as it came. Said, twins. And said, we knew that God, no matter what the doctor said, he said, we knew it was twins. I said, well, brother, that was obviously a mistake. That had to just be coincidental or something that's unexplainable. We walk by faith, not by sight. Forget it. There's only one baby. He said, well, but to us, we can't forget it because the Lord showed us that there was. And he said, when the baby was born, he says, as a matter of fact, when our baby girl was born, he said, I told the doctor, go back and get my other child. And he said, the doctor said, now look, I don't have to do this, but just because I like you as a courtesy, I'm going to go check. And the doctor went and checked, came back, said, there's only one baby. Enjoy your baby. And they hadn't been able to enjoy their baby girl. And I said, brother, it sounds to me like you just got fleeced because you were looking to something outside you instead of following something inside you, where the word instructs us as New Testament believers to follow the leading of the inward witness. God never told us, even though Gideon did it, people say, well, Gideon, people turn to judges and say, Gideon did it. Gideon got away with it. Gideon wasn't a New Testament believer. Gideon didn't have the light and the revelation of the word that you and I have. Oh, you can't get no amen teaching like this. Say amen faster. The bus is moving on. But the thing is, people say, well, Gideon did that. Gideon laid a fleece, said, you know, put dew on the fleece and then, you know, take the dew off the fleece. If that's your will, whatever. Gideon did it. Gideon got away with it. But in the New Testament, God has given us special instructions as New Testament born again believers. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I've got the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to leave you like an orphan. I'm going to put the Holy Ghost down on the inside of you, and you can ask him. He'll lead you from the inside. You don't have to depend on a man. You don't have to depend on an organization. You don't have to depend on a denomination. When you want to hear from God, he's as close to you on the inside. I wish I had an amen in here. I said, thank God for the Holy Ghost. I said, thank God for the Holy Ghost. He's in you. And so the last I heard of my, I don't know, I haven't been in touch, it's been years, but after that, within a year after that, I heard he had given up his church and gotten out of the ministry, and I was just grieved because I remembered our conversation and how much trouble he had giving that up. But we've got to stay with the word. Where'd I tell you to go? Psalm 32? Okay, Psalm 32, verse 8. Listen, God wants us to know his will. And Psalm 32, verse 8, he says to you, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. And I will counsel you with my eye on you. I like that. He goes on to say, only don't be as a horse or a mule, which have no understanding, whose trappings include a bit and bridle to keep them in check. Otherwise, they won't come near you. God's saying, don't make it hard for me to lead you. be like a well-trained rider on a horse. When the horse is well-trained, I said well-trained rider. When the horse is well-trained, he knows, or that horse knows what the rider wants to do. The rider can say, I want lean this way, and the horse will go that way. A well-trained horse will. When the rider just gently pulls on the rein, a well-trained horse will. I'm going to stop now. A well-trained horse, the rider doesn't have to jerk on the rein. I said stop. And God doesn't want to have to jerk on the reins with you and I. The Holy Spirit, he's a perfect gentleman. I said he's a perfect gentleman. And so he said, I'll lead you, I'll instruct you. Go with me to Proverbs 20, Proverbs 20, 27. Proverbs 20, 27. Headed from there to the book of Hebrews. Proverbs 20, 27. If you won't obey God's New Testament instruction to us as believers, to follow the inward witness, you'll get misled by your head. Proverbs 20, 27, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of his being. Oh, where does God lead us? Where does he guide us? Where does he shine the light? Man, in our spirits, in our hearts. Now, oftentimes things that come from our heart come up to our head and we interpret them in our head. And so it's easy for us to misunderstand where they came from, but when God is speaking to us, it originates in our spirit. Even if it comes up in understanding to our head, it started, God is a spirit, first of all, and so we can't communicate with him in our minds, in the mental realm. In other words, he's a spirit, he said, those who worship me will have to worship me in spirit and truth. We communicate with him through our spirits. And see, if we could just communicate with God, if it was just all mental, if it was just all in our head, our communication with God, well, then our places, our educational institutions, academia would be the most spiritual places on the planet. If mental communication is what enabled us to communicate with God, our universities, our secular universities would be the most spiritual places you've ever been in your life. But you and I both know that ain't true. I said, he's a spirit. And so we really want to say three things to you tonight that are apropos to this discussion. And our first point is this: find the word. Find the word. Everybody say, find the word. Yeah. And then flow with the spirit. Everybody say, flow with the spirit. I'm showing you my cards. That's my second point. And then follow the inward witness. Everybody say, follow the inward witness. Yeah. Find, flow, follow. First, if we're going to be led by God, we're going to have to find the word. We're going to have to, because his word, listen, his word, go to Hebrews 4:12. His word is how he speaks to us. It is the dominant way that he speaks to us. And you see, if we neglect his word, then we're not going to hear from him as often. We're not going to be, it's not going to be accurate, or we're not going to hear from him as often as we could if we don't spend time in his word. His word is the main way that he speaks to the New Testament believer. And nothing that he says to us through the precious Holy Spirit will ever be inconsistent with the holy written word. Can't get no amen there. I said the word and the spirit always agree. I said, somebody said, well, I had this experience and does your experience match the word? Somebody came to me one time. They told me they had a dream. I said, okay. I said, well, your dream don't line up with scripture. So what you should do now is forget that. Because they were about to make a decision, just a very unwise decision, very unwise decision. And so I opened up my Bible and turned it around and said, listen, I want you to read these scriptures. And so the person read the scriptures out loud. I said, can you see right there in the word? The word is saying something different than you're saying your dream says. Person said, I see it, but the dream was so real. I said, I don't care how real your dream was, forget it. The enemy sometimes disguises himself as an angel of light. I don't care how real your dream. If your experience does not match the word, drop the experience. You can't get no amen as a preacher teaching like this on a Wednesday night. I said, if your experience is different than the word, you've got to let the experience go. Jettison the experience if it doesn't line up with the word. I said, God's word is the primary way. Find the word. It's the primary way he speaks to us. Find the word that covers your situation. Hebrews 4:12, the word is quick, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing, even to the dividing asunder of soul, spirit, joint, and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I think it's probably up here in New American Standard. I memorized that in a different version years ago. If I've memorized something in a different version, I always quote it the way I memorize it. But listen, the word of God is alive. The word is no dead book. The word is alive. It's quick, powerful. The word is a living. It's a living word. I said, these are no dead, dried up, dusty, dead words. These words are alive. They've been breathed out of the heart of God. And the Bible says when we apply faith to the word, woo, God's word will change you, will change your circumstances, will change situations. I said, God's word will break forth with power when one person will believe it. Faith activates the word. I said, your faith will activate God's word in your life. You said, I need a job. You better find scripture. Find the word. You know, over in 2 Peter 1:4, it says, whereby has been given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God, he's given us exceeding great, the precious, full of life, the power-packed promises. And when you're going through something, you better find the word. Find the word. What does the word say about your situation? You said, I need health in my body. What does the word say about that? You say, I need money in my bank account. What does the word say about it? What exceeding great precious promises are you relying on? Find the word. If you're going to be led of God, you've got to find the word. You've got to find the word that governs your situation. It is the primary way God speaks, through his word. The word will be the balance. The word will be the border. The word will be the parameter. The word will be the litmus test of everything else that happens. Amen. Can't get no amen teaching about the word. You're going to have to find the word. If we're going to be led, if we're not going to be led by our head, misled by our head, then we're going to have to find the word. And there's a direct correlation between how much time we spend in the word and how sensitive we are to his spirit. And so often what happens is that people sincerely, just with sincerity, they get something up in their head, or they hear something in the realm of their head, and they just say, well, that must have come from God. Or people with sincerity hear something out in the realm of the spirit. And people assume that anything, that any noise, any voice that has come from the realm of the spirit, people assume that's God's voice. If it came from out here in the realm of the spirit, it came in the realm of the spirit, must be God. The enemy operates in that realm. Yes, he does. Can't get no amen teaching like this. You'll be misled by your head. And so often people we can all make mistakes. We're all human. And the Bible says, thank God he's working on all of us. Aren't you glad about that? There's no condemnation to any of us. Aren't you glad about that? Every one of us has missed it at some point. Is there anybody here, you've never missed it in your whole life? Come up here so I can slap you. In love. I'll slap you in love. No, we've all missed it. We've all made mistakes. There's no condemnation. Philippians 1:6, you know, but being confident in this very thing, that he who began a good work in us shall perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Find the word. Everybody say, help me, please. Find the word. We got to move on. The bus is moving. I'm leaving half of y'all at the bus stop. Say, find the word. Find the word. All right, get on the bus. We're going to the next point. Listen, we've got to flow with the Spirit. Go to John 7. John 7, 37 through 39. Flow with the Spirit. Everybody say, flow with the Spirit. Yeah, we've got to follow. We've got to follow. Flow with the Holy Spirit. There is a flow to the Holy Spirit. And we've got to flow with his leading on the inside. God has so designed it that he has so he has overweighted the scale in our favor. He has tipped the scale in our favor by placing the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, on the inside of you and I. We have such a huge advantage by having the Holy Spirit on the inside. Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away, because you're going to have the Holy Spirit on the inside. It's to your advantage that I go away. And so John 7:37-39, now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. He said, look, there's a river. There's a river on the inside of every New Testament believer. He is God the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, he will refresh you from that river on the inside of you. God will lead you through that river, through the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. The answer you need is not outside you. The answer you need is down in your spirit, down on the inside. And so learn to flow with the Holy Spirit. He's already on the inside. How do you flow? But how do you flow? Brother, could you explain, how do you flow? Well, first, go to Ephesians real quick. I know we're going fast. The bus keeps rolling. The bus is only staying at these stops just momentarily. If you get off the bus sightseeing, we're going to leave you. We'll come back around and pick you up at the end when we make the last point. Ephesians 6:17-18 is where we're going. Somebody say, flow with the Spirit. Yeah, he's on the inside of you. Stop looking to the outside. You need answers from God. You keep looking to the outside. Learn to be God inside minded. Ephesians 6:17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, look, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Everybody say, pray in the Spirit. There are so many admonitions in Scripture for you and I as New Testament believers to take the time to pray in the Holy Ghost. There is a huge advantage we gain when we pray in the Holy Ghost. When we pray in the Holy, there's something about praying in the Holy Ghost. You will, the more time that we spend praying in the Holy Ghost, the more accurately we'll discern what the Holy Spirit's saying to us. And if you haven't had the joy of being filled with the wonderful, precious Holy Spirit of God, you can be filled tonight and pray in the Holy Ghost. Praying in the Holy Ghost is part of the armor. I don't have time to teach on that, but you know, if you read all the pieces of armor that he lays out, he doesn't end until he stops talking about prayer. Praying in the Spirit is a part of the armor. It's a part of the Christian's armor. Praying in the Holy Ghost. And if you don't spend time praying in the Holy Ghost, you need to set aside time to pray in the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, flow with the Spirit. What's that? That's my second point. Go to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2. Praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit. We're talking about being led by the Lord tonight. He's on the inside. He's given us specific instructions as to how to be led. So we've got to follow him. We've got to obey him if we're going to be led by the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, for one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. No one understands, but in his spirit, he speaks mysteries. Do you see that? The person's not speaking to man, he's speaking to God. In his spirit, he speaks mysteries. The person speaking in tongues, in his spirit, he's uttering mysteries. One translation of that word mysteries, one translation says answers. That the person speaking in tongues is uttering mysteries or uttering out answers. In other words, many times, you'll be speaking out your own answer. I said often, you'll be praying in the Spirit and you won't even know it unless you interpret it or through the inward witness. Sometimes we know things, we become knowledgeable of things, because the more you pray in the Spirit, the more you know on the inside. In other words, you start to know things on the inside. The more you pray in the Holy Ghost, you just start knowing. There, you get a knowing down on the inside of you. You just start getting a knowing about things. The more you pray, the more you know. The more you pray, the more you know. You're bypassing your brain, but in your spirit, you're communicating directly with God. You're speaking directly with God, as it said right there, 1 Corinthians 14:2. And so when you pray in the spirit, you'll just get a knowing. You'll just get a knowing the more you pray. You said, I ain't got no knowing yet. You ain't praying long enough. Pray, you stay in there, hang in there and pray. You'll get a knowing. Or oftentimes you'll know not, what not to do, what not to do. I remember before 17 years ago this month, I've been working here. I've been going to church here since 1985. But I've been working here on staff with the Hagans and this wonderful church and staff team. I've been working here since 17 years this month. Yeah. But I remember 17 years ago, early in the year, at the first part of the year, I remember, actually, this is early this year, and the Hagans talked to me November. I won't go into all that. But from that previous year in January, the Lord spoke to my heart, said, get ready to go into ministry full time. I'm working in business. Get ready to go into ministry full time. Didn't tell me how, didn't tell me who, didn't tell me what was going to happen. Just said, get ready to go into ministry full time. And then at some point during the year, a pastor approached me and said, we've been praying. And said we've been fasting and praying. And said, I got to tell this story fast. He said, we've been praying. We're going to go out and evangelize. We're going to leave the pastorate, go evangelize. We don't want to turn the church over to just anybody. Got the church up to 500 people. We got a beautiful building. The Lord's given us your name as the next pastor. Would you come out here and preach? I said, sure. The Lord hadn't told me where I was supposed to be going, just told me to get ready to go in ministry full time. And so we flew up there, preached, and oh man, it was great. I loved it. The people said amen. You know, and so on the way home, I had what you call the bobblehead effect. You know what the bobblehead is? When you say, is that God? Is that God? Are you supposed to go there? Just say, yeah. I think that's God. Yeah. But you're up here in your head. You're not examining what's down here in your spirit. And oftentimes your emotions will get tricked by the bobblehead. The emotions will trigger the bobblehead. Yeah. But you might be being pulled by your emotions instead of the spirit of God down in you. And so we began to pray. Couldn't get it clear. I was shocked, actually, because I just knew. I thought the Lord is going to tell me to go there so quick. I thought I'm going to barely get the words, should I go, off my lips, and the Lord is going to crescendo with a lightning bolt, go there. That's what I was thinking. But it didn't work out like that. I seemed uneasy, couldn't get it clear. My mind wanted to go. My mind was like, come on, let's go. Don't waste time on that prayer. I'll tell you what else gave me the bobblehead effect. They said, we know you're working for FedEx. We know you're working. They said, we know you're making, you know, a pretty good nickel over there. And they said, the board has already agreed to match your salary. I'm making $105,000 a year. They're going to match my salary. That's my first opportunity to go into the pastorate. That ain't too bad. That would have been 2001, $105,000 a year. And they were going to pay all my moving expenses. But we started praying. We had learned then through missing it. We'd missed it doing that. Following the Bible, had missed it before, previously. Had missed it. Had flat out missed it. And we had learned, better pray. Better pray that thing out. Started praying, man, can't get it clear. Oh, Bill, come on, go faster. Better get it clear. Got to get it clear. And so just took to fasting and praying. And just got clear as a bell. Just got clear as a bell. Went from muddy to clear, just like that. Don't do it. 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 No, don't do it. I called the pastor back and said, I'm not going to come. He was shocked. He said, please tell me that you're kidding. He said, we fasted. We got your name fasting. I said, I got the answer not to come fasting. See, before, if I hadn't prayed it out and he told me we fasted and got your name, I was like, he fasted. But I had fasted, I had prayed, and I had felt in my spirit, it was just a knowing. You said, did the Lord speak to you? No, don't go. No, it wasn't a voice. It was an inward knowing. it was an inward knowing. That's not right. That's not the right decision. It's just a no, no. It's not, something's wrong. No, don't do that. It was inward. And I said no with no other opportunity out there and went back to my job until I bumped into the Hagans at a restaurant. And Pastor told me, the Lord's been speaking to me all year to talk to you. We went out that next week and they asked me to come and stay. And they always say, when the Hagans tell it, they say he didn't even have to pray. He just said yes right away. I did say yes, but I had already prayed. But when Pastor told me he wanted to talk to me, I said, Lord, now, whatever he asked me, am I supposed to say yes to that? And I had a gush on the inside. On the inside, that yes, that's right. That's the one. Yes, that is the one. See, I would have got misled by my head. Woo, time. Come on, the bus is leaving. The bus is rolling. I'm going to leave y'all at the bus stop. Woo. Find the word. Flow with the Spirit. We've got to follow the inward witness. Run with me to the book of Acts. Oh, my goodness. Acts chapter 1. Let me call out the scriptures. Acts chapter 1, verse 26. If you hear the exhaust from the bus leave, you know I left you. Acts 1:26. We're headed to Acts 15 real quick after that. I'm going to explain what happens for the sake of time. In Acts 1:26, it's before the outpouring of the Spirit, obviously, in Acts 2. And Peter discovers there is some business at hand. We know they're in the upper room praying. We know it takes 10 days before the outpouring of the Spirit. And during that 10 days, while they're praying, that scripture, just above, 26 is the last verse, but just above there, read the 10 verses above there, and it says, Peter stood up and said, I'm paraphrasing now, we got unfinished business. Judas betrayed Jesus as the 12th disciple. But the scripture says, read it right in there, right in Acts chapter 1. The scripture says that his office should remain desolate, and then another should be selected to take his office. And so people say, well, you know, he was quoting out of Psalm 69 and then Psalm 109. And so we don't have time for that. But he said, the scripture says we're supposed to find somebody to replace Judas. And so they say, okay, we'll find somebody to replace him. And they get two brothers who've witnessed everything from the baptism of Jesus forward. And they said, these two men have the same credentials. We don't know which one to choose. And so they said, let's draw lots. So what you see in chapter 1 of Acts, verse 26, they drew lots to choose between those two brothers. What in the world are we talking about? We're in the New Testament talking about drawing lots. We don't have time to go here. Proverbs 16:33. The lot is cast into the lap, but the answer comes from the Lord. There are so many scriptures we could go to. Deuteronomy 33:8, 1 Samuel 28:6, 1 Chronicles 24:5, Joshua 7:6. Israel operated by the use of the lot all the time. I don't have time to explain that. But because the Holy Spirit did not abide with anyone in those days, and thank God he does in the days of the New Testament believer, he does today. But because mainly the prophet, the priest, and the king operated with the Spirit and he didn't reside with them, then they drew lots and God allowed them to draw lots, which sometimes were names carved on stones. And then whichever stone would come up with that name on it, God would allow that to be his answer. And that's how they picked. That's how they replaced Judas. They replaced him by lot. It is the last time you ever see that in the New Testament. Because after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, you don't see that no more. New Testament believers are led on the inside. Acts 15, very quickly. Oh, my goodness. Acts 15. Oh, my goodness. 15:22, 15:25, 15:28, 15:34. You know what they all say? It seemed good. It seemed good. They had to determine, how does someone become a Christian? Is it just through simple faith in Christ? Or do they have to convert to Judaism, follow the laws of Moses? Back then it was a big thing. It was an unknown question. What are we going to do? How do we advise believers? And they came together for a conference to settle the matter. But then when you read 28, it says, it seemed good. It seemed good. 15:28, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. It seemed good. It's that phrase, it seemed good. You can see it there in verse 22. You can see it again in 25 if you read New American Standard. You can see it again in 28 if you read King James. You can see it again in 34. It seemed good. What are you saying, Brother Bill? I'm saying that they learned to follow the inward witness, which just came out as it's what seemed right on the inside. It's something that seemed good on the inside. It's something that seemed right. It wasn't a spectacular. It wasn't a spectacular, thus saith the Lord, which thank God, if God wants to move like that, God can move like that. But what he has instructed you and I as New Testament believers is to follow the inward witness. And oftentimes that inward witness will be interpreted as it seems good. I'm not talking about a natural feeling. I'm talking about a spiritual. It's something that seems right. It just seems, that seems right on the inside. Down here, that seems good. That just seems good. Often the inward witness is interpreted. It just seems good. Last scripture. Oh, man. Last scripture. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. Oh, man. I'm going to write these two. Well, okay. I'll quote what I want to tell you. And then we'll go to the last scripture. You go to Romans 8. Well, I rush to Acts 27. You go to Romans 8. I'll come around with the bus and pick you up. Acts 27, verse 10, Paul got on a ship that was sailing in October of 59, way past when that ship should have been sailing, 276 people on board. And when he stepped on the ship, he said, "Sir, I perceive there is going to be a great accident. There's going to be loss of all of our lives and loss of all the, I perceive. What was he doing? He was following the inward witness. He got on that ship. I perceive this is not going to end well. On the inside, he got that. Last scriptures. Oh, man. Romans 8:14, Romans 8:16. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And the Spirit bears witness with our spirit, not with our mind. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. How does God lead us? Down on the inside, through the inward witness. Can God speak in other ways? He can. But what's the primary way he speaks to us? Through his word. What's the primary way he leads us? Through the inward witness. Listen, we shouldn't despise any of the ways that the Lord leads. If there's a prophetic word or something, but you shouldn't be led that way. You shouldn't be led in your personal life going around looking for prophetic words. You'll get fleeced. You'll get fleeced that way. And so thank God when he speaks in a spectacular way. But the main way that he told you and I to follow him is through the inward witness. Let's pray. Father, thank you. You know, we've endeavored to share in these minutes what you've given us. And thank you for the mighty leading of the Holy Ghost on the inside. And thank you for helping us not to get the bobblehead effect with emotions, but to follow you through your word and through your spirit with what seems good down on the inside. That velvety feeling, that go feeling. Father, thank you for the inward witness and thank you for the Holy Ghost. Help our friends, help us all. In Jesus' name, amen. I know our time is short. You may need prayer. You may want one of these brothers or sisters to come and agree with you. You know how we do by now. If you're a guy, come over here to the guys. If you're a girl, come over here to the girls. They'll pray with you and you won't leave here like you came. Stand on your feet. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and grace. Protect everyone going home on the roads. Bless our pastors. Bless the Hagans. We'll give you all the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you and good night. God bless you.